And thank you for joining us, Neil Young and Connie here on Coast to Coast AM. Have you ever checked out our website, coasttocoastam.com? It is a great site. There are so many really cool things on there, lots of great information. One of the really cool things tonight is we're talking to Ron Moorhead. And Ron has traveled the world doing research on the unexplained and undiscovered for a long time, and he is recognized around the globe for that Sierra sounds that we all know and what we've been listening to tonight, those audio recordings. If you want to know more about Ron, go to our site. We've got a lot of stuff on him on there as well. You can check out his audio recordings. He's got volume one and two. Really good. Those are really, really good. They're short and sweet and wonderful. Storytelling and at its finest with these sounds. Really, really nice. Be sure and check that out. His book, too, that we've been kind of talking about the stories from there, Voices from the Wilderness, or excuse me, Voices in the Wilderness. And then he's got a new book coming out in the future on the quantum physics. I'm looking forward to that. I know he's kind of telling us a little bit, giving us a sneak peek on that. But if you go to our site, you're going to see that information, and that's what we like to do with all of our guests so that you can go and check them out. But also, we've got some of these recordings on our site so that you can hear some of the recordings as well. So if you want to hear them over again, go ahead and go to coasttocoastam.com, and we've got that for you. By the way, we are going to be taking your questions for Ron a little bit later on, but more still to come here on Coast to Coast AM. Thank you for being with us tonight. With stations all over the U.S., North America, Puerto Rico, Guam, and by satellite, we are Coast to Coast AM. I am your host, Connie Willis, Sierra Sounds, Ron Moorhead. Ron, right before we took the break, I was wanting to ask you about how when you come across the Bigfoot and the different stories where you will hear them and they're cracking limbs and big giant branches as they're walking and they're moving big trees out of the way. And then, you know, you hear those stories or see those things yourself. And then you also hear the stories of you just see a head like gliding by really fast or glowing eyes gliding past where it looks as though they're not walking whatsoever. There's no strut. You have an answer to that?
Yeah. You want to hear my answer?
You don't know.
I don't know. I have no idea. But I tell you, the one I saw the night when these sounds were being recorded on this last track that you played, and on the next one too, it was like it was gliding through the forest. It was moving so fast, but I didn't think about it at the time. I thought it had to be running, but it was running so smooth. It wasn't tripping over anything. There's a lot of logs laying down, dead tree falls, limbs, everything like that. But it was just running, probably around 100 yards across to where the other two were, and it just was so fast, and how it did that is just beyond me. It's just like it was, well, it was so smooth, but it could just be they move so well in the forest that they just can do it that way.
Well, apparently, because you don't hear them. Did you hear noise as it was going that fast? Did you hear it hit the ground, the feet? No,
well,
didn't even hear anything.
Wouldn't listen so much for that. We had the horses in camp, mules were there, and we just had the stove popping and things like that going on. So,
speaking of that, someone asked, they wrote in and they wanted to know about your mules and your horses, how they reacted to these creatures.
Just, they're still, just frozen. Just, they would have their ears pointed towards the sound, and where a bear would come in, and they would just paw and all kinds of trouble then. But when these things were making the noises, they were just stopped, pretty much.
Wow, that's interesting, because like Gimlin, they had a whole Patterson-Gimlin film there. They had a little different reaction there with the horses.
Well, they were riding, and the horses were startled, too, I think. I mean, that could have been even a man, and it might have startled the horses. And the horse also will feel the rider, and I imagine Patterson, when he's trying to get off and get his camera out and all that stuff, was excited. You know, I mean, that's a money shot.
Yeah, that's true.
And I imagine the horse felt the same. You know, because you become one with the horse after a while, and they sense you. And if you're excited, they're going to be excited.
That makes sense. Someone also wrote in, by the way, people are writing in, they're calling in. This is, people want to talk to you and ask you questions. So they're going, Connie, ask this. So let me ask you, I know this is a good thing. Somebody wants to know if you took this to SETI.
Where?
To SETI, SETI.
No.
Are you familiar? No, the answer is no.
Hey, I haven't done much of the, I mean, I've been carrying this torch now for a few years, but prior to me getting really involved in talking about this or getting out and getting on programs, or Al Berry is the one who did the homework.
Oh, I gotcha.
He went to Syntonics, the people that said the Nixon tapes, trying to get them to tackle it. They said, no, what we're hearing is definitely spontaneous, but unless you got a lot of money, we can't do it. So he finally found Dr. Kirtland. That was 6 years after he had recorded these sounds. I mean, he'd been trying so hard to find someone that would tackle it and take it seriously, and finally he did. So it wasn't until a few years after that when I really started getting involved in it. And basically, Al was a professional. He went up there looking for a hoax. He thought surely it had to be a hoax. Nobody has encounters like this. And Ivan Sanderson, who was first approached by a 23-page letter from Warren Johnson, our senior member, who has passed away now, he thought it was a hoax. I read the letter he wrote to Peter Byrne, who also thought it was a hoax, because it's just incredible what was going on with us. But we didn't really take it that, we didn't know it was that incredible. We just knew what was going on, and we was trying to have fun with it, and we up there hunting, basically, and enjoying the atmosphere. It's just gorgeous country, and it's pristine. Nobody's around, and there's creeks and springs, and you're at 8,400 feet. The camp is 8,400 feet elevation, and it's just a beautiful area. So we knew we had something, but we had no idea, and I had no idea that it would evolve into something like I'm doing tonight even.
Yeah, I could imagine that. And you know, when it's happening too, you know, you're hearing it and you're feeling excited, exhilarated. I would be a little frightened as well too, but in a good way. But you know, it's just you never think about that you have to prove this to people later, because you're hearing it for yourself, so you don't have to prove it to yourself. You know you were there. But then, yep. You know, this kind of stuff, when you have these happenings, then later on, everybody wants you to prove it, and you got all these people, you know, fighting with you about it, and that's not the fun part at all. The fun part's where it's happening and not realizing how big it really is, like you talked about. I mean, this is a big freaking deal. This is a big deal, all the stuff you have. I mean, I had asked you the other day, I said, do you have anything? And I thought your answer was going to be totally something different. You know, I had said, do you have anything that you haven't played for anybody else that we can, you know, that I can say, hey, it's going to be first time heard here. And you're like, yeah, I got tons of it. I just got to get it. It was so matter of fact of you, where other people do their best for decades to try to get a sound. and you have them all like, you know, you wipe the dust off of it in the attic.
Well, Al Berry, I got to take my hat off to Al. He became a good friend of mine, but he was actually, when he first started going up there, going through our packs, looking for who could be pulling what, he was actually trying to uncover a hoax. And he thought for a long time, this would make a better story if I could prove it was a hoax instead of what it looks like it probably really is. But he fostered the studies on it, and I miss him a lot. He was a good friend of mine. We did a lot of things together. And interviewed a lot of people together and talked a lot around the campfire together.
Well, I like when it happens like that, where somebody does come in to try to debunk it, and here all of a sudden he was open enough to go, holy cow, I can't
that's
do that.
That's why, excuse me, but that's why he knew the science needed to be behind it, because he knew people would try to debunk it.
Yeah, he did a great job.
I didn't really care, and, you know, yeah, he did. And I don't care to try to prove it to anybody. I don't need to do that. I just tell you what happened and the way it happened, and that's all I can do. They clearly don't quite where you want to go with it, but I don't. To me, if it's got language, and it does have language, how do you say something doesn't exist if it's got a language?
Yeah. Well, you guys made a great team because of that. You were there to experience it and go, wow, this is it. This is real. This is what happened. He's out to prove it, you know.
Remember, Al and I, one of the last times we spoke, I think, was in 2005 in Bellingham with Lloyd Pye.
Yeah, I know Lloyd. I knew Lloyd.
Yeah. We both spoke up there, and that's the only time I met Lloyd Pye was there. But I got involved in the Star Child a little bit because of the enigmatic features
skulls,
of it. But the
yeah.
Peruvian skulls were first the Star Child was in Mexico. That's where it was found. But there's a lot
real.
Of strange things goes on, and
real.
We're just getting into them, a lot of them. But it's fun. It's an exciting life. I've had a good life, and I really appreciate having this life.
It's not over yet, because I know at one point you're taking me to that area.
I didn't want to say I'm fixing to die or anything.
No, yeah. You've got some time left, and in that time left, you're taking me to that area with you.
I'm in pretty good shape for my age.
You are.
Privileged, yeah.
You look great. You got a lot more time to go, I hope. This is interesting that somebody wrote in. It was Ray Snell. He wrote in. He's working in South Texas. And he said this totally creeped him out. But basically, when we were playing some of the sounds, it was like something was answering back where he is working. Said it freaked him out. He says, I'm not joking. This happened when we played a noise, one of the vocalizations, something around him vocalized back.
Well, he may have the pineal gland and tuned in where he's receiving some of that stuff. You know, you got to be a little, I think, relaxed and passive and open to this. What's out there? A lot out there we can receive that we're not receiving because of our cardinal senses that we have going for us as humans. We're really all one energy, and everything is combined if we can connect with it. That's what Christ tried to teach us, you know, and 2,000 years ago. He wished that all could be one with the Father, as he is one with the Father. And that's basically, if you read the Red Letter edition and forget about man's handprints on a lot of the rest of it, but Christ said a lot of good things, and he told us how to connect with that inside energy that's in all of us. We're made in the image of God as creators, and it's really exciting to me to think of who we are. And if you read some of the scriptures, my gosh, you can read them all your life, but sometimes you read them and they just come to life to you, and all of a sudden, wow, I just read them again for the first time.
That's true. Always a different perspective. You know, though, I can name a few different people, but a lot of people do believe that it's been turned off on us. We've been, you know, dummied down to not be able to use the powers that we have within us.
I believe that's totally true, Connie. You got all the way from fluoride in the water and the foods that we eat. It's just everything that's going on that's dumbing us down. It's calcifying the pineal gland, and that's our key to everything, basically.
Who do you think might be behind that?
Well, I don't know. I know they've known about that for years, but when I was in high school 100 years ago, they talked about how good fluoride was for you because it strengthens your teeth and all that stuff, but yet that's the main culprit that's calcifying our pineal gland. And you got to learn how to decalcify it, and you can do that, and that's what I work towards. You don't eat anything that isn't that's genetically modified. You want to eat the GMO-free stuff, and you want to have just eat good stuff. But there's some things you can't control, and that's like these chemtrails that you hear about and stuff like that. You have no control over that.
Do you know about with the gland, like there's crystals in them? Is that right?
Yeah. You've read it. Yeah, you know some.
I know, you know, I've heard that people have said that, but I don't think they saw them until after it had, like they did an autopsy on the brain and it had dried up, and that's when they noticed it. Is that right? I mean,
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, okay. It has everything a regular eyeball has, except that it doesn't, you don't see with it like we're seeing. It's really an amazing thing to read up on. There's so much about that. I encourage anybody to look into it. It's just more and more stuff is coming out about it. But I believe that is the key to so much that goes on. And if we can learn to connect with it, we will be one with the Father. And that's what I'm saying. We want to be one with the master energy, whatever that is.
Yeah, everybody has a different, the source,
yeah,
God. Yeah.
Name. I call it Supreme Alien.
There you go. There you go. Whatever works for you, you know.
Yeah, right.
Well, you know, they make pills to turn off your, you know, to turn off and on things, and like diet pills to turn you off from being hungry, to stop smoking. You know, I just wonder if somebody's working on a pill to turn on that wonderful gland.
What do you mean?
Probably not. It doesn't sound like they are. It sounds like they're trying to keep it down, right?
Well, the dumber we can be, the better off the government is, I think.
Yeah, but you think it's the government? You don't think it's anybody above that or somebody else even above
that?
Well,
who knows who's influencing these people that are in our government? What is going on with that? There's so much going on that we don't see and don't know about. It's hard to trust anything. That's how I see it anyway.
Yeah, I think they don't. I don't think the government has any clue. I think I don't know what it is or who it is, but I think they're just, you know, doing their thing.
I heard this program with Steve Quayle on it here some time back where the military supposedly had killed a giant over in, Afghanistan, maybe. He was 18 feet tall. He was on this program and with George. And I've heard the same story from another person that was there, and I've also heard from a geneticist that knows about this. Three different people that were. Anyway, there's a lot going on that, and I got to tell you, up at our camp, we had a set of tracks up there that were 25 and a half inches long.
Oh, my.
13 foot stride. Now, for years, I wouldn't even talk about this because it was just too freaky. But you got to do the math on how tall and how big that thing had to be. Think about it. And the thing wasn't running, but it had a 13-foot stride.
Oh, my. How tall do you think you would be?
At least 12 foot, at least. And probably on up a little towards 15 feet.
Well, it might be good that you didn't see that thing right next to you. That might have been what was breathing next to your tent.
Might have been. I don't know. It's like a two-legged elephant walk around when they're doing that stuff. It's just,
Let's listen to one more before we go here. Can we? Do we have time to listen to one more before we go to break? That gave me chills on that one. It was answering you back.
Yeah, I was mocking it, and it was talking back to me. I think it was asking a question. I don't know what it was asking, and the cryptolinguist can't tell me what they're saying, and that's the bad part, because I was hoping he could decipher a language. He deciphered they have language, but he can't decipher what they're saying. He says, until you can get one to come in and point at a tree and say, ooga, ooga, that's a tree, you don't know that ooga, ooga means a tree. So there you are. And I don't know what that thing was trying to tell me that night, but it was an exciting night, I got to tell you that.
Yeah, and it was certainly trying. More with Ron Moorhead and the Sierra Sounds here on Coast to Coast AM. Ron Moorhead with more of the Sierra Sounds coming up, and we're going to be taking your questions next hour as well on Coast to Coast AM. It's another very interesting show on Coast to Coast AM, the Real Theater of the Mind, the Sierra Sounds, Ron Moorhead and Connie Willis here. I kind of wanted to mention something myself to you, Ron, And it's funny that somebody wrote in to tell me something different than I was going to tell you. But when I was playing the sounds at my house off the computer, the dog that we have at the house didn't react whatsoever. Not at all. Nope. Didn't even worry about it, except for the whistle. The whistle, she kind of perked her ears up. However, somebody had written in here, Gary Sinek, and he wrote to me to say that his dog was trying to talk back and have a conversation. Excuse me? What's that?
His dog talked back to the sound?
Well, said that, tonight I was listening to your show. You played a group of sounds a few times. They were very distinct. My pug became very animated, looking for where the sounds came from. She barked and talked back, trying in her way to have a conversation. That was a great experience. Just wanted to pass that on. So his pug interacted. That is interesting. Where mine did nothing.
Most dogs will react to some of these sounds in a negative way. I've had them cower down and run.
I would think so, too.
Don't. I don't know what the difference might be.
Yeah.
It's interesting how dogs react to this.
Well, how do you feel about people taking dogs when they go out Bigfooting and searching?
Well, I discourage it, and I discourage it for a good reason. I've got on my second CD a 911 call, which someone should listen to. It's a real account. I'm sure I interviewed this man, and I took a police report and edited it. Anyway, they'll kill a dog if the dog chases them. And a dog can't help but want to protect you. They will bark at them. They irritate them. Some people will want to take the dog no matter what, and that's up to them. But if you want to get close to these creatures, unless they do something to the dog, like paralyze it or something, but they'll either kill a dog or the dog will come back to you and won't go anywhere else. So you just got to hope for the best. I made a YouTube video about taking a dog. I don't think you should because of obvious reasons. This one guy, I got to tell you, on this 911 call, he said his big German Shepherd went out at this thing, and this is before he had saw it, and he did see it after this, that he heard this big thunk, and heard a big squeal and a big thunk, like it just got slapped on the ground or something. It got tossed 35 feet in the air. I seen where it had to have come from. I seen where it landed, and it killed the dog. And, that's what happens if the dog goes after them. If they don't want the dog to do that. So.
And I heard that 911 call with what you have, and it is just horrifying to hear that guy talking about his dog and then what he sees. It's a great call. It's not a great call, but it's to listen to it. I mean, you feel like you're right there. I felt for that man so much.
Yeah, he lost his dog that night, and his other two dogs, which usually the aggressive dogs, started to go out, but then they cowered back, came back into his work area where he was, and this was like 1 o'clock in the morning, I think. No, I get it mixed up because he had two different incidents. I combined them both in the 911 call because one of the incidents was when he lost his dog, and the other instance when he called back a couple weeks later. That's when the security light went on out of his farm out there, and he saw this thing standing out there looking at him, and right when he was talking to the deputy on the call, he saw it. And you can't help but believe this. And when you hear it, it's just
oh, yeah. We should have played that call. That was that is a really that I heard that and just stopped in my tracks. I felt so bad for that man. And he was the 911 lady was just, you know, what, huh? You know, ugh.
Yeah, I know a person here where I'm out on the Olympic Peninsula now, and she won't go anywhere without her dog. Of course, she goes by herself, and her dog is a form of protection, but she's claims she's getting some activity going on with these things, but she has her dog with her, and she won't go without her dog, and that's okay. If it makes you feel better, that's what you should do.
Yeah, I just... It is funny because I know that they, you know, most people have a relationship with these creatures, beings, whatever you like to call it, and call them. But I also know that, and they have this really nice relationship, and they're not worried about kids being there and family members being there and their dog. However, you know, these things happen where these dogs are pulled apart or thrown, like that story. So it's kind of weird to me that if the creatures care about you with a relationship and your kids and not hurting you as a family or a human, why they will do that to your dog. I think that they would know that that's a part of the family.
Well, I think, Connie, we can't group them all as one type of beings. I think there are other types out there. There's the good ones and there's the bad ones. There's some that just don't want to have anything to do with dogs, probably, and some that wouldn't mind it.
Yeah.
I don't think they should all be lumped into one category. I know a person well known. I've known him for years, and he swears up and down they're all good. But they're not all good. There's people, well, you know about David Pilates, who has the 411 book, and he won't say that this from a book, but and who's to say? He's a professional. But basically, there are people missing, and there are people missing close to where our camp is.
Oh, my.
That's concerning to him, but still, I don't think the ones that I was dealing with up there are threatening to me. But you don't know. You still just don't know. Because there's a reason they stay hidden in those trees, and behind those trees, they're bigger, stronger, stealthy, sapient beings. Why are they staying so retracted from society and reclusive? I think there's maybe a spiritual answer to that. I think there's a cosmic war going on, and I think that someday they could be entangled quantumly by their creator, whoever that is. But even the Bible says there's guardian angels, and there's also the bad ones. So I think I can interchange the word angels and aliens with the same word.
Do you think they're there like sitting and waiting to be told to make some sort of move in the future?
Some of them could be. And some of them could have been genetically modified just for the purpose of what could be happening to us if they dumb us down far enough. I sound like a conspiracist, and I don't like to sound that way, but...
No.
Connie, if we understand who we are as human beings, what image we're made in. I mean, the image of God. My gosh, that is incredible. Whatever these things are, they're not made the same way. They're not made to be dominant like we are. And I don't like to use that word egotistically, but we are, you can command these things to stop, and they'll stop. They can't be, in fact, that's happened to us up there. One of the guys just said, I wish they'd leave us alone. He yelled all at them. And I mean, they left us alone. We didn't have any more activity that whole week.
Isn't that interesting?
Well, we have been given dominance on this earth, and that's biblical. And I believe it as human beings made in the image of God. That's what we can hold ourselves to. If you believe that inside, nothing's going to hurt you out there. So there, I said it.
There you did. You said it. It took all night, but he said it. No.
I said it.
You said it. You were fighting it the whole way. No, you got to be who you are, and you got to say, you know, what you think and feel. And, you know, if we could find the truth about everything, we would know where we stood and know how to make the next steps, because the foundation would be of rock at that point. So speaking of that, let's go ahead and hear the next sound before we start taking some phone calls next hour. Holy cow, that's just talk right there. I mean, that's just talk.
That was coined as the samurai cry by a guy no less than named Matt Moneymaker, who is on the Finding Bigfoot program. And he coined that, he came up before he ever started the BFRO and heard my sounds, and he said, that sounds like a samurai cry. And so he went back and started the BFRO and put that on his site, and he coined that sound as samurai.
Can we hear that one again? It's pretty interesting.
Whoa.
It's like one is singing and then the other. Wow. That's amazing. I couldn't imagine hearing that next to me. And
Well,
just
that happened. I recorded that sound right when I was outside that night, that same night when you heard those other whoops, because that one whoop right there was part of that other that you heard. And the samurai cry was at a same night, but a different time. And I wanted to play that because people call this samurai chatter, and that's where it came from. But I
now
sent
it's
you a couple other sounds which I want to play you in a moment.
have never been heard before.
Well, the grunts may have, but the other one hasn't. I pulled them
Okay.
out.
Is
Let
that the
you
coast to coast one?
no. Well, whichever one you want to play, I don't care.
Okay. No. Let's play the one. Which one would you like to play next?
The grunts.
Okay, let's play the grunts. He's got to find the CD. Nathan Staton is the producer. He was just here last week with the Derby, and his horse won, and his trifecta won. And hey, that's why he's such a good producer. This man can he knows how to pick 'em. He's a great producer as well, and we thank him for being there on the
I
ball with
gotta
us.
tell you something about Louisville. My
Yeah.
ancestor is buried there. He was a governor of Kentucky during the Civil
Oh.
War. And it's
Wow.
just interesting. I went to Morehead City back there too, which named after one of my ancestors. And our lineage goes into that area. And I went into university back there, and it was fun going to if you go through the town, there's Morehead drugstore, more Bank of Morehead, all this stuff. Kind of strokes your ego pretty good.
Well, sure. Did you get a selfie with everything, with all the names
Oh, I'll tell
behind
you,
you?
they rolled out the red carpet for me at the university
Yeah.
there, college. Yeah, it was fun. Oh, that's the one thing we've got to get out of the way if you want to have communication with these things, is get your ego out of the way. We've got to kill the ego within us all. And that's easier said than done.
We need to
But
do that with ourselves and humans as well, not just the Bigfoot.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about ourselves, not Bigfoot.
Oh, okay.
I don't think Bigfoot has any ego. I think it's us that's got the ego, and
No,
that's what we have to.
I think that because I think where some people are at a campsite and or some people can hear the Bigfoot or see the Bigfoot, others with egos don't, I think. I think they pick and choose, and I think they don't pick the people with the egos. Yes or no? Do you agree?
I agree.
Yeah,
They want
that's what.
simple.
Yeah.
They don't want people that are out trying to exploit them.
Yeah.
I've been getting emails all the time. I've been talking to you all night long here on people that are listening, and one guy says, "What about disappearing?" Well, yeah, they can cloak in and out, and I believe that, but it's got something to do with quantum physics again, and be able to get out of our perception of light. And there is a science behind that. It's just a matter of understanding it.
And if you're still doing, I don't know if you're still doing any more research where, you're taking these sounds to anyone to have them checked again. I know that that wasn't really what you were doing as part of the team, but we were talking about SETI before. Again, SETI's SETI, and what they do is they can detect whether a sound has linguistic qualities based on the sound itself. And so that's what we were talking about earlier. So I wanted to let you know that somebody suggested doing that if you need to, even though you've done a ton of studies already.
Well, the cryptolinguist has kind of dispelled that. It has language. He's got 30 years' experience, and there's nobody. I vetted him through the head linguistics guy in the United States.
Oh.
And he's a two-time graduate of this school, and he's spent thousands of hours under the can, they call it. And he's definitely come out and said they have a complex language.
So we're going to go from language to the grunts. How's that sound?
Yeah, there you
Let's
go. And
hear the grunts.
I did this for fun.
Okay. That is so weird sounding. It's
Well, I think
this.
that one might have been constipated. That's what I wanted to say there.
Is that okay? That would match up
I'm
with
just kidding. I'm just kidding there.
it. Well, you got to try to put something to it,
And you got to have fun with this stuff because
Yeah.
I try to have fun in life, period. because that's what, you know, why go through life not having fun?
Well, that one sound that he makes is like, it's almost like he's, yeah, I don't know the grunting part, but when he goes, like it's almost like, I just picked out a berry I like better than the other one, you know? So,
one that has not been released to anybody.
Oh, okay. First time ever. It's a second grunt, isn't it?
Well, it's the coast to coast sound.
Oh, it is the coast to coast one? Okay. Yeah. Okay, let's hear that. It's never been heard before. It's ferocious, then it's kind of like some language coming out, you know, some words trying to form, and just different sounds all over the place.
Yeah, you know, you asked me for sounds that hadn't been heard before, well, but you still don't know what they're saying. It's just a bunch of gobbledoop.
I know, but it's cool that we had it, so thanks.
Yeah.
Appreciate that. Well, you know,
well,
because you have... Yeah, I appreciate that. And I know, you know, the funny thing is, you were like, I've got a whole ton of them. And I'm thinking, well, pull them out. Let's go here. This is cool. It's just amazing, again, because I know so many people that go out so often with all this equipment and they get nothing. And you went back in the 70s, the old tape recorders, the old cassette recorder, you know, and there you go. And it's funny, too, the Patterson-Gimlin film, that's film. I'm wondering about all this digital stuff, you know, with tape. It seems like tape is the way to go.
Well, it sure worked for us.
Yeah.
There were times when even Al Berry says on my first CD that I produced, he says that his tape recorder went dead. He blamed it on the weather. He said it was too cold. But actually, it was cold up there at times. Things were freezing, but it shouldn't stop your batteries, really.
No.
Keep batteries sometimes in the cooler.
Oh, okay. Well, I know cars have died in Kentucky before with batteries being, you know, too cold up there and the battery dies. But I don't know. Anyway, we've got Ron Moorhead with us, and we're going to take your phone calls next hour here, talking about Sierra Sounds and then some. It's Coast to Coast AM. Thanks for listening.